Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus on this first Advent Sunday as we gather to receive and to await the God who is our source of hope by our worship this day. May you know the extravagant welcome and the surest hope that is offered to all of us by Jesus Christ. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us this day by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance may separate us, and yet there is nothing that stops the power of the Holy Spirit in pulling us together as the body of Christ. We are that body up and about and in the world. And so we give thanks to a loving God for making that so. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to lift up this morning. As always, we thank our worship leaders for making worship happen this day. To Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Bill Ladd, Tom Foster, and Beth Canterbury, and also the Corbin family. And special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Natick Pegasus for their technical expertise that's making all of this happen. You'll also see a few decorations in the images from our worship this day. That's our sanctuary, decorated by a number of volunteers over the last few weeks. And I want to give a particular thanks to those who participated in bringing Advent in particular into our worship life as we prepare for the season of Christmas. In preparation for Christmas, liturgically, we will be making some changes in our worship. We usually light a candle at the beginning of our worship time together, and indeed we'll be lighting a candle, but this time it will be an Advent candle. And so in a little bit, the Corbin family will be leading us in our lighting of the first Advent candle. And so our thanks to them. And again, and also we invite all of you to have a candle ready to light as that candle is lit. That'll happen right after the announcements. And in the successive weeks of Advent, we invite you to add a candle if you haven't already done so. So two for next week, and then three the following week, and then four the following week. So I suspect you know how that pattern goes, but I encourage you to do so, to indeed to prepare. During our worship this day, we will be lifting up public prayer concerns and celebrations, and we invite you to share additional ones to our prayer list. You'll find that prayer list in our bulletin, but you can also send an email to us now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of this morning's reflection, we should be able to use those within our morning prayer. So we invite you to do so. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. As always, we have a time of post-worship fellowship following our worship time. This comes to you by Zoom video conferencing. There's a link to that Zoom time together, which you'll find in your bulletin and also on the church's website, and you'll also find it in the weekly emailing that went out on Friday and also this morning. This is a season when we continue to ingather the estimates of giving that you all are sending to us, have been sending to us over the last few weeks. There are still more of you who intend to do so, and we encourage you strongly to do that as soon as possible. This is going to help our church leaders plan for our coming year in terms of the church's mission and ministry. And so please, please consider making an estimate of giving and sending it to the church and helping us be the church in this coming year. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have a few announcements this morning.
Yes, thank you. I want to invite everyone to join us on the church steps out on our front porch this afternoon at 4 o'clock for the first lighting of our outdoor Advent wreath. We will light the first candle this afternoon. And if you have Victorian garb, we invite you to wear that to add to the festive air. If you have stored your pieces at the church, I will have a Victorian costume shop open in the play yard next to the church. Starting around 3 o'clock, you can stop by and pick up pieces that you might need, a top hat or a cape or whatever. And we invite you to do that today. You can sign them out for this season. We will ask you to wear masks for this event, just as we wear them outside everywhere now. And even though we will be in Victorian garb, we will be masked as well for this socially distant and festive gathering on the front porch. So we will be trying to hold this every Sunday of Advent this season, although we keep your eye on the church communications to let you know if that can happen. It will depend on what is going on with COVID in our area. So we will let you know, but we hope to be able to do this more than once. And I want to remind folks that we still have our midweek connection and prayer on Wednesdays at noon. It's a short gathering where we share prayer concerns and pray together. And you are welcome to join us for that. It is via Zoom. And if you have pastoral care needs during the week, please contact Jonathan at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. He is available for all of your pastoral care needs during the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. We want to welcome and thank the Corbin family who will be leading us in the lighting of the first Advent candle this Sunday, previously recorded from our freshly decorated church sanctuary.
Today is the beginning of Advent, the preparation time for celebrating Christ's birth. We are here because God's promises to our ancestors came true when Jesus was born. God's promise is kept each Sunday when we worship because Christ is in our midst. God will keep the promise to come again in glory.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you.
We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is hope. Because of Christ, we not only have hope, but we believe that good is stronger than evil. God wants us to work for good in this world. Please join us in praying our unison prayer. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of untiring hope, even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when our view is obscured by clouds of doubt. Ignite the flame of hope within us, that we might glow with its brilliance from inside out. Amen.
And so at last, beloved, we come to a time now when we enter the season of Advent and this first Advent worship. And in this time, we hear words of comfort, we hear words of challenge, we hear words of good news. The prophet Isaiah and the four gospel authors wrote in times when people needed desperately to hear all of these as well. This first week, Isaiah and the author of Mark reassure the people that the good news is beginning, and yet they also say, make yourself ready, raise your voices, change your hearts, get ready to be transformed because now is the time. Let us embrace hope that we can do what needs to be done to bring more light into the world. So throughout this Advent season, we're going to lift up the theme of a line of poetry that was scrawled on a wall by an anonymous Jewish poet during the Holocaust. The words read, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. That sentiment resonates with us this year as we wait for the dawn of a new day and as we wait and work for for healing, and for justice. Because Jesus was born into that kind of world as well. He would call for a new way to be in right relationship on paths of hope and peace, and joy, and love. In the midst of this year's beshadowed times, we yet affirm the ways that we can, right now, still believe, even when we are separated, even when we are discouraged. In the place without light.
The place without light.
The depth of the night.
The depth of the night.
The pit of unknowing.
The pit of unknowing.
I believe in the sun reminds us of the resilience of hope.
Good morning. For our responsive Advent song, I'll sing it through once, and then I invite you to join me on the second time. I believe in the sun. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in the sun. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining.
Good morning. Please join me in our opening prayer. Now is the time of watching and waiting, the time of pregnant expectation of new life. Now is the season of hope unfolding, the dark of winter when hope waits to be born. In confident expectation, let us be alert, for God comes to make all things new. Rejoice. Let us worship the God who comes to bring the birth of hope. Amen.
Light. Rejoice, rejoice.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing or placing them over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to a time now of lifting up our offerings, and we have many different kinds of offerings that we lift up because we are a gifted people. We are people who have been blessed in many ways with talents and abilities, with resources, with competencies, all of which that can be used to advance God's mission in the world. And so our encouragement is that you continue to do that, to use those resources, to use all those abilities and talents to make that happen in your lives. We also hope that you will help make it possible for this church to continue its particular mission and ministry in this Natick community and beyond. We are not passing an offering plate at this time, but we encourage all of you to continue to be generous financial contributors to the church's mission and ministry. You can do that by mailing a check to the church, or you could also do that by making an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org and clicking on the donate button. We hope that you will continue to be a people who share the blessings that you've received in many, many ways, and in particular, through the mission of this church. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. Thank you, God of hope, for the promise of this season We are grateful for the generosity aroused in us, in particular by Christ's coming into the world. May these gifts represent a new spirit of joyous sharing among us for the sake of all your children everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the books of Isaiah and Mark, beginning in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who was unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, 24 through 37. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the God of, well, something like that. Until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. I may not be able to sing it that well, but put up all the greens that you want. Play White Christmas over and over again. Make me watch It's a Wonderful Life over and over 100 times. I am not going to feel that we are headed towards the Christmas season without that haunting minor key tune with its oddly captivating words, words so captivating and so odd that I couldn't get them right this morning. But they matter to us because this is a hymn with staying power. This is a tune that dates from 15th century France. The words are a 12th century translation of a 6th century Latin hymn called the O Antiphons. Medieval monks would gather for Vespers on the 7 nights before Christmas and take turns singing the great O's, short-chanted devotions, each of the 7 focusing on a different spiritual, scriptural name for the Messiah. That's in our version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel as well, which we sung earlier. Each verse corresponds to one of the great O's. Each is a plea for God, the Messiah God, as Emmanuel, as dayspring, as wisdom, as desire of nations to return and to save the people. Well, such a vision goes back much further than the 6th century AD. A similar plea is found in the prophet Isaiah, who wrote in the 6th century BCE, when the people were in exile in Babylon, defeated and suffering oppression, they felt far from home, they felt far from their God. So for them, it was a bleak time. And in desperation, they cry out. They cry out, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. Each year, I am always struck by how Advent begins on a note of despair. As ready as we might be to get to Bethlehem, there is no desire in these Advent scriptures for hay-filled mangers or fluffy lambs or cuddly babies. But there is something else. There is longing, longing. It's in Isaiah's prophetic words, and it also is in Mark's apocalyptic words as well. So, you know, contemporary books and movies focus on the horror of biblical portents of the end of the world. And yes, in Mark, we hear about cosmic signs and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and mounting fear preceding the world's end. But Mark also warns us not to be led astray by charlatans who would point to signs and say that the end is near. There, Jesus flatly says that no one except God knows when this hour is going to come. And that is the reason, in fact, why we are told to be a watchful people. So it's good to keep in mind that this apocalyptic language is part of a well-known literary form of Jesus' day, code language spoken to a suffering people, telling of how God is at work in human history to bring all things to God's loving purposes. So here, Jesus isn't offering a way to project the end of the world. He's doing something else. He is offering spiritual resources to meet the challenge of adversity and hardship by saying, don't let your hearts be weighed down because God's realm of love even now is being born. Critics of religion will often say that faith is about wish fulfillment. But Advent hope goes beyond wishes. Goes beyond wishes to our urgent passions, our desperate longing, our eager yearning, our unabashed desires concerning the deepest needs that we hold. At Advent, we perform a kind of, I don't know, spiritual gymnastics, let's say, acting out this pageant of waiting for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem and God, and expecting God as well to break through into our world. Why do we carry on this tradition of ritualized longing? Well, I think it is because of the kind of hoping that Advent offers. It's not simply hoping that we get the shiny things that we think are going to delight us. It's not even the deeper hope that we'll get those things that can help us cope with our anxieties and our fears. It is instead the deepest hope emerging from our innermost selves for the deepest relief, the transformation of the world and the transformation of ourselves. Our most urgent hopes aren't that different really from Isaiah's people and the generation of Christians from Mark's time. The fulfillment of God's promise that the people would know peace and justice and security. If only the heavens would open wide and just and righteous power be revealed to this entire screwed up world. If only the firmament were rent and goodness poured down into the midst of our lives. If only all that's wrong could be swept away and God's children left to live in peace. If only that longing was the starting place for the Israelites' hope, just as it is the starting place of our own Advent hope. We've got our longings too, of course, and seasons of our lives when we feel them most acutely. I want to commend to you a book that has been recently published by author Catherine May titled Winterings, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. It's a book that has arrived, I think, just in time when many of us are feeling not so much the onset of winter as the actual season of winter, but the very human experience of the winter times of our lives. What are winter times? What are winter times? Well, we know them, even if we don't choose to recognize them or dwell on them. May writes, those winter times are a fallow period in life when you're cut off from the world, feeling rejected, sidelined, blocked from progress, or cast in the role of the outsider. Perhaps it results from an illness or a life event such as bereavement. Perhaps it is from humiliation or failure. Perhaps you're in a period of transition and have temporarily fallen between two worlds. Some winterings creep upon us, accompanying the protracted death of a relationship, the gradual ratcheting up of our caring responsibilities as our parents age, the drip, drip, drip of lost confidence. Some are appallingly sudden, like discovering one day that your skills are considered obsolete or your partner is in love with someone else. However it arrives, May writes, wintering is usually involuntary, lonely, and deeply painful. Yet, it's also inevitable, says May. She goes on to speak of how in our contemporary world, we are forever trying to defer the onset of winter, of how we don't ever dare to feel its full bite or show the way that it ravages us. And still there is no way over an entire lifetime to avoid the winter. We don't have to be Jon Snow to know that inevitably the winter is coming. As May says, our parents would age and die, or our friends would undertake minor acts of betrayal. The machinations of the world would eventually weigh against us. Winter would quietly roll in. And she argues that we need to stop trying to ignore or dispose of these winter times, writing, they are real and they are asking something of us. We may never choose to winter, but we can choose how. So May's books, its observations and its premises are really speaking to me these days. I always feel actual winter time drawing on with its biting cold and its diminishing light. Like most of us as well, I've known my share of winter times, like the ones that May speaks of, none of which I would choose to repeat. Some of us are experiencing those now. I know it. And on top of this, there is the extended winter time that has been going on since last February, at least, COVID, going on and on and on, the awareness of racism ripping our society apart, and the awareness also of the kind of will it's going to take in order to root it out, the fractured state of our nation, of differing worldviews and seemingly differing realities, the unrelenting effects of global climate change going unheeded, going unchecked. Winter has hardly begun. By the calendar, it hasn't even begun, right? And I am already deeply feeling the need for some summer time. Recognizing this, however, gets at the heart of Advent. As May points out, plants and animals don't fight the winter. They don't pretend it's not happening and attempt to carry on living the same lives that they lived in summer. They prepare. They prepare. That Advent comes as winter draws in, that is no accident. By it, our faith tradition calls us to look all the winter times of our lives squarely into the eye, and to see them for what they are, especially to know our longing and therefore to prepare and to give way, perhaps, to real hope. To read the great O's again, for example, with eyes looking for the messianic images, to the desire behind those images that resonates with you. So which speak to your longing? What's the need for which you desire Christ's transformative work? Emmanuel or Morning Star? Or wisdom, or desire of nations. Whatever our answers might be, Advent and the life of faith is, I think, about asking, what is the longing for which I need Christ to come? And the wholeness I yearn for him to bring. Even if we haven't been reared on messianic expectations, we know what it means to long for a world that is free from suffering and injustice, and for the peaceable kingdom that is redeemed by love. When the heavens, beloved, when the heavens have remained closed, and we have suffered, and human tragedy has been played out again and again, hopeful longing, no doubt, seems like folly. But let us yet be among those who watch and who hope. For perhaps those heavens did open for shepherds to hear a song of peace and then later on to show them through the life of the one who was born that night what we must do to build such a realm of peace and to usher it in. And may we carry that longing-driven, hope-filled refrain with us throughout this Advent season. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And thereby set the tone and set the agenda for this wintering time and of waiting and of expectation. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now when we bring those deepest longings into prayer together. We come to a time now when we share our celebrations and concerns. There are many that have been listed in our church's bulletin. We invite you to take a look at those. But we also know that there are others that have remained in our hearts unshared. And so we lift those up as well. All of the deepest longings for this time, and a time when we may yet have more longings and desires and deep yearnings than we ever have or have for a very long time. I want to turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other celebrations or concerns that have been lifted up during this worship or perhaps before.
Good morning. Prayers of healing go out to Cecilia Stone's nephew, Ian, who is hospitalized for COVID symptoms and has returned home. Prayers for safe travel go out to all those who celebrated Thanksgiving away from home and are headed back home this week. Prayers of continued healing for Karen Shirley's mother, Beverly Newell, as she heals from a recent hospital stay. Prayers go out to Carolyn and Gail's sister-in-law, Pam, who has a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer this week. We ask healing prayers for Keith Jennings' uncle, Jack Lucas. Jack suffered a heart attack yesterday. He is in stable condition, but awaiting another procedure on Monday. May God be with him and give him strength to withstand these difficult times. Lastly, prayers for strength, patience, and comfort for those parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and all family and friends who have had to be apart during these traditional days of gathering. Reminded by today's Advent candle, may we all find hope in the promise of new beginnings.
Thank you, Wayne. So, beloved ones, let us be in a time of prayer together. Let us be in a time of bringing those longings. Let us bring in a time of lifting up these particular cares and celebrations this day. Let us be in a time, moreover, of the Spirit uniting us in prayer and as a worshiping and missional community. Let us be in prayer together. Ever wakeful God, we meditate upon your closeness and upon your constancy, and we remember today your call and our calling to keep awake and to be vigilant. Awaken us to the joy you have prepared for us, to the fulfillment that you would give in our participating in your labor of love and faithfulness for the sake of blessing of the world. At times, oh God, you seem absent, but it is our faith that you are never far away, and that in such moments we are only close to the sense of your presence. And so we await the sense of your return. We wait to trumpet your arrival once again, even though all the while you are ever with us, ever watching us, ever watching over us, ever watching for us, ever watching out for us. We thank you, God, for all that life brings, for this moment in which we live, for the future that unfolds under your care, for Jesus, who revealed the vision of a new age to humankind and in himself lived its reality. That there is more to come than we consciously now know, greater peace, love, joy, and justice than we or the world have yet experienced. We pray for the waking up to our responsibility to keep conscious, to hold before one another the vision of the world as you intend it to be, for conscious living of each day in your spirit. And we pray for others, for new hope for those who despair of the new age of Christ ever coming to be, for the stirring of those who are unconscious and unconcerned with the needs and sorrows of their neighbors. In our entry into this season of Advent, we prepare to celebrate your love, to celebrate your never leaving us, your ever coming to us, and your yearning that we be ever coming to you. Renew our charge to watch for you. Renew our opportunity to watch with you. Renew our responsibility to remain awake to you, to your mystery, and to your mission. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Even when even when it's not shining. Beloved, let us arise from our worship now as watchful, expectant people, and as we do, may the God of hope fill us with all peace and joy in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit we might yet abound in hope. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.